This evening, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. You know, what an incredible psalm David has given to us. And as we've been studying, we're in verse 49 tonight, as we're looking at the different parts of the psalm, as we saw the 22 characters of the Hebrew alphabet. And tonight is the Zion. And here David again is continuing to write. And he continues in chapter of 119 of Psalm, beginning at verse 49. And he begins now with the actual title here, speaking of the hope and comfort of God's word. Remember, I told you that every verse, as you're reading through the verses, you cannot help to miss the word of God. The importance of hearing, the importance of teaching, the importance of living by the word of God. I try to tell young guys and older people too the same thing, because a lot of times people call me from all over the country, different churches, and they'll say, well, what's the success of your church? Why is your church growing? It's because of the word of God. It's not because of us. It's because of the word of God. It's teaching what I was taught by Pastor Chuck Smith, line upon line, precept upon precept, and you know, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and as you go through book by book through the whole Bible, in the Old Testament, 39 books, 27 of the New, and you study the history and the background to those books, and then you get the scriptures in your heart, then you begin to develop and to begin to grow as a child of God. And David was sustained by the word of God. Notice how he begins here as he's lacking in that hope that is lacking today in the world. David says, remember the word to your servant. Lord, don't forget to speak. So David is he's entering into prayer. He's praying. And he's saying, God, remember the word of your servant upon which you have caused me to hope in. In Acts 4:12, it says, there's no mediator between God and men, but the man Christ Jesus. Christ is the only way, the only truth, the only life. And as you begin to see here, David, the psalmist, as he's writing, it is, you know, so tragic today that we don't see many people that really have a real hope in Christ, but they have a hope in this world. And that's why they're disappointed. When I was in New York City last week and looking at the hundreds and thousands of people at night walking the streets of New York City, looking at the expression in their faces, you could usually tell what a person might be facing when you look at their countenance. And what I saw in New York City, I saw a lot of worried people. A lot of worried people, not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. But yet when you talk to a child of God, you talk to a Christian, someone that knows not only eschatology and you know about the Holy Spirit, you know about salvation, you know the doctrines of the Bible, you've read from Genesis to Revelation, then nothing can really move you from that foundation, which is the rock Jesus Christ. Because my hope is not in anything but Christ, period. That's my hope. He's the only hope that I have. I can't put my hope on my children or my wife or my grandchildren, but I can surely put my hope permanently in Christ Jesus. For he's the only one that can really truly help me. He's the one with an open ear when I get down on my knees or I'm laying back or sitting down or driving, wherever I may be, and I can open my mouth and I can pray to him and he can bring hope to my life every day. When I get bummed out, when I get, you know, and look at the world, the way it's heading and the government, everything that's happening, my hope is in Jesus Christ and I know that he's in control. In studying the book of Daniel for Sunday nights, I've been blown away by Daniel. How the Lord used Nebuchadnezzar on his way going to destroy Egypt and then coming back and destroying Assyria. And God says, oh, the end is not yet. I'm going to lead you now and I want you to go through Israel and I want you to destroy Judah. and take him into captivity, make three sieges. And they're going to be for 70 years in captivity. And you know what God did with Israel? God did tell Israel, if you go willingly, you won't suffer. But if you resist, you'll suffer tremendously. If you put your hope in me, then I will be with you. And that's what he's saying here. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ, I don't care what your circumstances, your problems may be here tonight. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. He is in control of the economy. He is in control of my life. He's in control of government. No matter what happens, he is our hope and only hope, Jesus Christ. And so the psalmist not only expresses it, check this out, verse 50. He says, this is my comfort in my affliction. When you're sick, when you're oppressed, when you're depressed, who's your hope? Who's your comfort? You can go to a psychologist and they won't give you any comfort. I tried that for 6 months when I wasn't a Christian then. I ended up in a straitjacket and locked up for 6 months, and eventually they kicked me out of the hospital. They couldn't put up with me anymore. But think about all the people that really cannot do anything in their lives unless you do it through Christ. Whatever you're facing tonight, he can become your comfort in your affliction. Whatever suffering you're facing tonight, whatever problem. He says, for your word, notice the word of God, your word has given me what? Life. Life. That's what keeps me going every day, man. Every day. Being in the Word, locked up in four walls, and just getting into the Bible, getting into the Word, and studying God's Word so I can teach the people of God. But before I can teach you, God has to teach me. And God has to speak to me. Otherwise, what can I say? Nothing. And yet for you, at the same time, wherever you go to school, wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you play, it's really important that you prepare yourself through the teaching of God's Word that brings life to you, and people see it. And when they're in need, what are they going to do? They're going to ask you, why are you so peaceful or so joyful? And then you can share the Word of God with them. That's what maintains you, comforts you. He's the only one that can do that. That's the key, the Word of God. And then check this out, verse 51. The proud have me in great derision or in great mocking. Yet I, David, notice his answer, do not turn aside from what? Your law. Again, the word of God. People can make fun of me. Who cares? I'm growing spiritually. They're not. They're on their way to hell. I'm on my way to heaven. This is the key solution that sustains me. It's the law of God. It is his word. It is the hope that I have in his word. And then he goes on, and notice what he says, verse 52. I remember your judgments. There's the word of God again. Of old. O Lord, and have comforted myself. How did he comfort himself? With the word of God. He didn't go to a shrink. He didn't go out and do, you know, talk to people about a lot of things. He went right to the Word of God, and the Word of God spoke to him. And the Word of God brought hope in his life. And then he said this, which is interesting, verse 53. Indignation has taken a hold of me because of the wicked who forsake what? Your law. What do the wicked do? They have no need for God's Word. No need. Those are the liberals. Those are the liberals of today that are trying to shut down the Bible. They're trying to shut down churches. They're trying to get all these bills passed through that you can't really speak and teach the Word of God, because if you speak against, you know, if you speak on homosexuality or lesbianism or pornography, or you speak on liberalism or whatever it may be, the subject, the topic, they're saying that you're really coming against a person. And we don't come against person, we come against sin. And they're trying to shut us down. And they're trying to put a law into effect to say you can't preach against anything concerning homosexuality. If you do, you can have a lawsuit in your hands. Because you're prejudiced against homosexuals, and I'm not. Or lesbians, I'm not. I love them. I hate their sin, but I love them. They're in bondage. Satan has them in bondage. And that goes for fornicators, adulterers, liars, whoever they may be. So it's really important that we understand the Word of God, the importance that David is bringing out here. Then he says this, verse 54, your statutes, there it is again, your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Isn't that cool? If you're a musician, listen, you don't have to make up songs. There's enough songs in the Bible for you to sing. Isn't that cool? Right there he says it. When musicians come to me and say, well, you know, I don't know if I have enough music. You got to be kidding me. I'm not a musician. I can't sing or play an instrument. But when I read the Psalms, I can just see David, the musician king, writing down and singing these beautiful worship songs for every instance, for every problem in life, and bringing solutions to our problems through the songs of the Lord. And that's what he's saying here. Your statutes have been my songs, the Word of God. And it's not just the Psalms. It's Genesis through Revelation. In the house of my pilgrimage, notice that. In the house of my pilgrimage, I remember your name in the night. In the night, I remember your name. You know, one of the things I told my daughter-in-law and my sons, which they do, and it's really cool, and I tell parents all the time, make sure that before the lights are turned off, when you sit down to go, you know, before your kids go to bed, that when you go into the room and talk with them and pray with them, that you read them the scriptures. That's what he's saying here. To make sure that at night you're going to bed with the Word of God. Not talking about a werewolf or Frankenstein or whatever. And they'll be like, they can't sleep, you know. But if you talk to them about David, how he killed Goliath. Or Samson, how he was seduced by Delilah. Or how Moses came to the edge of the sea and raised up the staff and the waters heaped up. And they walked to dry ground and the Egyptian army coming behind them and 3 million crossed. And when they got across right in the middle, Moses tapped the waters and they caved in and killed the Egyptian army. So many stories to tell them when you know God's word. They can relate to it. They can depend on it. So your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord. And notice, and I keep your law. Isn't that neat? In spite of pressure, in spite of trials in my life, victory always comes through Christ Jesus, through his word. That's where I get my strength. Verse 56, this has become mine. Because I kept, notice, I obeyed your precepts. There it is again. Victory comes through keeping God's word. And then he starts now another set of 8 verses with the word of God. The theme here is, in this next portion, is keeping God's word. Preservance of God's word in my life. He says, you are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. Notice that. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. Notice that. Every verse, the word of God. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. So here he's talking about keeping God's word, and we have to practice what? The truth of God through his word. And here in verse 58, he's begging for what? He's begging for God's favor in his life. Verse 59, I thought about my ways and I turned my feet to your testimonies. Notice that. I can't take over the path that God has for my life because the way is narrow to the kingdom of God, but the way to destruction, according to Matthew 7, 13 and 14, it's broad. And many, many, many go to hell, but very few go to heaven. Did you know that? Read what Jesus said. Those are the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, actually 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. The words of Christ to the church, speaking to his disciples. He says, I made haste, verse 60. He says, I did not delay to keep your commandments. Notice that. I made haste. I hurried up. And I did not delay to do what? To obey your commandments. The cords or the snares of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. Notice, watch over your enemy. Don't let him take over possession of your life. Watch over your enemy. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you. I mean, if you can't sleep, oh man, I hate that when that happens. Because you know what? You try to close your eyes and you try to sleep or take NyQuil. When I take NyQuil, I'm out till the next day when I'm sick. But you know what's amazing? When I cannot sleep, instead of just laying there thinking all kinds of weird things, I just get up and go read my Bible. And you know what I find out? That when I begin to kind of go into my office and get my Bible and sit up, it's because God wanted to speak to me. And God wanted to share with me some things. I love that. Because it's frustrating. You got to get up early in the morning, you know, and you're losing sleep. But the Lord does that, he'll give you the rest. And what I found out is when I get up and I'm obedient to what God says, when I come back to bed, man, I'm out. But as long as I stay away from what God wants me to do, I cannot sleep. And it could be a whole night. And here he's talking about that. He says, I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The courts of the wicked have bound me. I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will get up and give thanks to you. Because why? Because of your righteous, what? Judgments. Notice that. The word of God again. Everywhere you read. I am a companion of all who fear you. I like that. He says, I am a friend to who? To those that love God. Which means be not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. In the body of Christ. Here he talks about people like-minded. I am a companion of all who fear the Lord. And of those who keep what? His precepts. Those who practice what they preach. They keep the word of God. They do what God's word says. And then he says, the earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. And what does he say? Teach me your statutes. Isn't that incredible? Teach me to study your word. Then he starts with a teth, T-E-T-H in the Hebrew. And this is now, the theme here is the precisenessness of God's word in evil times. He says, you have dealt good with your servant, O Lord, according to what? Your word. How did he deal with me? His word. Before I was afflicted. Notice, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. For those of you that have ever backslidden, how miserable you were until you came back to the word of God. Notice that. What did God say here? He says, before I was afflicted. When you're a real child of God and you walk away from God, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 11, he says what? Whoever the Lord loves, a real child of God, son or daughter, what does he do? As a father and a mother do, disciplines his children. And he does it by affliction. By affliction. Notice what he says here. By affliction he does it. He says, by affliction, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept your word. He says, you are good and do good. teach me again what? Your statutes. Notice that. Again, teaching me. Here again, God never punishes his children, but he does what? He corrects them. He corrects them because we are true children of God by affliction, by sicknesses, by pain, etc., whatever else happens. You're in an accident on the freeway, you're backslidden, and you get to go to the hospital for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you don't die. Sometimes they die. It could be an affliction from the Lord getting you back to the truth, give you an opportunity to wake up before it's too late. That's how God deals with his children. If you're not a real son, a real daughter, don't worry about it. You're on your own. The devil has control of your life. You have nothing to do with it. But if you're a child of God, God's in control of my life. I don't make decisions. He makes them for me. When I pray to him and I ask him, what do I need to do? That's why I come to him. Then he says, verse 68, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me. Notice how the proud or the arrogant are always lying against you. But I will keep your precepts with what? My whole heart. Isn't that neat? Who does that? Satan's always lying against us. He's the what? The accuser of the brethren. In Revelation 12, he says that he is the accuser of the brethren. Verse 10. In Psalm 19:70, he says, their heart is as fat as a grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Notice, can you say that? It is good for me that you have spanked me, O Lord. That I may what? That I may learn your statutes. You brought me back to the word of God. Isn't that cool? The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Underline that. If you're trying to work more to get more money, you're neglecting God's word, shame on you. Look what he says. The word of God is more important. Your spiritual life is more important to grow in Christ. He says also here, verse 73, now he starts like the Yod, Y-O-D-H. And this is now the eternal word of God, and this is now the value of studying God's word. In his next 8 verses, he says, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. So he throws out what? He throws out evolution. And he brings in creation. Notice that. In verse 73. He said what? Your hands have made me and fashioned me. He created man in his own image, different from the animal kingdom. Notice that. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Notice learning about the existence of God and the existence of man. He says what? Those who fear you will be glad when they see me because I have hope in your word. Those who love the Lord, their hearts will rejoice in it. And then he says, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me, which means what? God's in control of my life. Isn't that neat? The judges of the world, they do things not right sometimes, but God as a judge always does what's right. Never ever cheats. Never ever does anything that's wrong. And yet God says here, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let I pray your merciful kindness be for my comfort according to your word, to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live. That, notice, for your law is my delight. Delighting in the law of the Lord, like someone. He says, let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. But I will meditate on what? Your precepts. Meditation, reading, studying, and then taking time to meditate on what you've read so that you can live by it. Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes. that I may not be ashamed. Isn't that neat? The only way that I can be ashamed is when I don't know God's word. When somebody comes to me and I tell them, I don't know the Bible. I can't answer you. I have to go read it and study it. I'll come back and tell you. That's why we need to know God and his word. He starts now the third part in Psalm 119. Not continuing. Now there's the word cap. K-A-P-H. And this is now dealing with the afflicted one, sustained by the word of God. Those that are afflicted are sustained by God's word. He says, my soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? You know, sometimes we wonder, how long is this going to happen, Lord God? For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget what? Your statutes, the word. How many are the days of your servant? Lord, how many days do I have left? You know what's amazing about this is that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, he says there's an appointed time for a man to die and then the judgment will come. And then he tells you that probably in the Psalms he says that the most a person will live will be guaranteed 70 years and some 80 years. And if you go far and beyond that, that's God's grace. But think of how many people never truly prepare to die. And never think that maybe tomorrow will be your last day or tonight will be your last day. There's a number of days that God has for us. He says, how many days of your are your servant? He says, when will you execute judgment on those who persecute me, O Lord God? Lord, when are you going to help me? He's there to help you. But he's praying out of desperation here. Notice, the proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on the earth, but I did not forsake what? Your precepts, your word. Lord, I felt all along, I felt like you were not helping me, and I continually held on to what? Your word. That's what gave me hope. Revive me according to your loving kindness so that I may keep, what? The testimony of your mouth. Again, the word of God. And then he gets into the Lameth, L-A-M-E-D-T-H, and now he speaks of the eternity of God's word. He says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled where? In heaven. The original copy is where? In heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances. There's the word of God again for all your servants. Unless your law, the word of God, had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. You see, the word of God sustained me. It kept me. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me what? Life. There's life in the word of God. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. Again, the word of God. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider what? Your testimonies. The word of God. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly what? Broad. Not, notice, it's huge. You can, I mean, there's so much to learn from the word of God. And then he comes to Psalm 119, 97 through 104, the actual wisdom through the word of God, and it's called Mem, M-E-M in the Hebrew. He says this, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. I love that. I always quote it. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. Which means from morning to evening, in my mind, in my heart, is God's word. He says, you through your commandments, the word of God, make me what? Wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. You see? Constantly in the word. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. You see how cool that is? You as a student, studying God's word, you learn God's word the same way. I understand more than my ancients because I kept your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. Notice when sin came by and you were tempted and you could have sinned, you didn't do it because what? You wanted to stay on target with God's word. You wanted to keep serving God and loving God. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me, O Lord. I like that. Your word has not only kept me, but you have taught me, Lord God. Psalm 119, 103 says, how sweet are your words to my taste. Look at that. Sweeter than honey in my mouth. I love that. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Underline that. The word of God will keep you from every false way. Notice that. And then he says this. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I love that. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me. Make me alive, O Lord. According to what? According to your word. Sitting when you're sick in bed, reading the Bible, man, it heals you. It gives you great hope. Sometimes people, they can't be in church, they're ill, deadly ill, or they're crippled, or they're very old. Man, by just being in the room, in the bed, reading the word of God. Sharon's grandmother was like that. She would sit by a window on the sofa and she would read the Bible all day long. She couldn't do anything else. She would pray and read the Bible and meditation. When they found her dead, Ed Farrell, my father-in-law, found her dead, went to her house. She was laying in bed with her Bible open and she had been reading the Bible and the Lord took her. That's the way I want to go, man. That's awesome. Preaching from the pulpit, one day I'll drop dead. That's it. That'd be so cool. I would love that. Notice what he says. He says, I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgment. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the free will offering of my mouth. Isn't that cool? O Lord, and teach me again your judgments. My life is continually in my hand. Yet, I do not forget what? Your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. The wicked is always Satan. His demons are always trying to set up traps, but the word of God keeps you away from those traps. He says, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever. Notice to the very what? To the very end. Notice that. To the very, very end. And then he uses the word Samech, S-A-M-E-K-H. The wicked of the world. He talks about them. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. The law of God keeps you from being a double-minded person. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word, that I may what? Live. And do not let me be ashamed of my hope in you, O God. Hold me up. I shall be safe. I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Notice what he says there. Those who go astray from God's word. He what? He says, because of deceit and falsehood, he rejects. He says, you put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. Again, the word of God. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of what? Your judgments. And then he uses the word A-Y-I-N-I-N. The separation of deliverance through the word of God in our lives. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know what? Your testimonies. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. He's looking to do what? He's looking for God's judgment because people won't keep God's word. They break God's word. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, more than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, and I hate what? Every false way. Underline that. And then he comes to the fourth part of the psalm here, the word P-E. And he uses here again, he's talking about the communion and joy that we have through God's word. He starts in 129. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words give light, and it gives understanding to what? To the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for your commandments like the deer panting. Look upon me. Be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Did you notice what he said? Direct my steps, how? By the word of God. Redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face to shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, crying, why? Because men do not keep your law. How sad it is to know that your son or your daughter or husband or wife or someone in your family or friend, they never, ever, ever have the key of the word of God in their lives. We should be weeping for them. It's sad. But what a joy it is when you know that your children and your grandchildren, or your mother and father, grandfather, grandmother, aunts, uncles, whoever it is, or friends, they really, truly love and delight in God's law, his word. And that's a priority in their lives. And we don't really weep, but we rejoice because of what God is doing. And then he uses the word T-S-A-D-H-E. And it talks about the seal that we are to have for the word of God. He says, righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies which you have commanded are righteous and very faithful. My seal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten what? Your words. Notice that. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. And check this out. And your law is truth. Notice how many times he uses it. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. Isn't that neat? When you're bummed out, when you're going through trial, temptation, whatever it is. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and then I can live by it, and I shall live. Then he goes into the experience of the word of God. He uses the word in Hebrew, Q-O-P-H. He starts in 145, I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I keep your testimonies. I rise from before dawn, notice at the dawning of the morning, and I cry for help. I hope in your word, getting up early in the morning before anybody gets up and reading the Bible and waiting upon God. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word, again when you can't sleep. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord. Revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. Speaking of the wicked. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are what? Truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. And then he uses the word R-E-S-H, resh, in the Hebrew, salvation through the word of God, beginning in 153. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me, make me alive according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek, notice, your statutes, the word. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and I am disgusted because they do not keep your word. Notice that. He's disgusted with the wicked. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever and ever. And then he uses the word shin, S-H-I-N, concerning the perfection of God's word, beginning in 161. He says, princesses or leaders persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasures. I like that because notice what he's saying. When you read the Bible, you're going to find great treasures in it. God's going to speak to you as you dig into the scriptures. He says, I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Do you ever stop just to say, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, Lord, I praise you and worship you? How many times a day? He did it 7 times a day. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are where? Before you. Lord, you see everything. Notice that. He sees everything. And then finally, he comes to the prayer of praise through the word, the Taw, T-A-W in the Hebrew. This is not the concluding of the psalm. He says, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Notice that. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Notice how many times he said that. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you. Let your judgments help me. And then check this out what he says. This is so cool. I have gone astray like the lost sheep. This is for backsliders, okay? And check this out. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Lord, somebody that is out there, you can pray for them, or they can pray and say, Lord, I'm lost. I don't know how to get back, but Lord, show me the way back through your commandments, Lord God, through your word. Man, it just blows me away how God's word is always for us and never against us. And as we seek him. Father, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord God, through this great psalm that you've given to us, Jesus, to be able not only to define it, but to see it come true in our lives. And Lord God, now as we continue through Psalm 120 through 130, Father, we pray as we're almost done with the Psalms, Lord God, and then we go to 1st and 2nd Peter, Lord God, that you teach us thy word, Lord. Help us, God, to be men and women of the word. Father, help us before we go to bed tonight to get into the word. And when we wake up in the middle of the night and in the morning, Father, help us to be men and women of the word. And Father, I pray for those that are weak and sick or are going through great valleys, Father. I pray, Lord God, that tonight you would touch them and anoint them and bless them. And Lord, those watching online, that you would touch them too, Lord God. We give you all the praise, we give you all the glory and all the honor, because you are worthy, God. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us for our sins as we confess to you and repent of our sins. Cleanse us, wash us by your blood. Lord, continue to pursue after us and help us to continue to seek after you, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here tonight in great need of salvation, Lord God, that your word already has done its work, Father, of convicting and bringing true conversion, Father. If there's anybody here tonight that wants to receive Christ, you're sick and tired of your life, or you're backslidden, as the psalmist declared, then come back to Him. But if you want to come for the first time and you want to become a Christian, you want to be forgiven of every one of your sins, then you can do that right now by repenting of your sins, confessing your sins to Him, and then getting up by faith and coming forward. And He'll take your sins as you repent of your sins, and He'll cleanse and wash you by His blood. He'll write your name in the book of life, and He'll give you the guarantee of eternal life, and He'll seal you with His Holy Spirit. If there's anybody here as we worship, please get up and stand now. Get up and come to the front here and stand here. And I'm going to pray with you as you come. Young, old, I don't care who you are. We're going to worship now and then join us up here in the front to receive Christ. Come now. Father, we're so thankful for these and many, many more, Father. And Father, for all these that have come this evening, Lord God, we pray for each one of them individually that You would touch, that You would anoint, that You would heal. And those of you that want to receive Christ, and I pray with me this prayer, repeat after me this prayer. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to You that I have sinned against You. I ask You to forgive me, to cleanse me, to wash me by Your blood. And I accept You as my Lord and my Savior. Baptize me with Your Holy Spirit and with Your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you guys a Bible, some literature. See that guy right over there, you guys? But right over there. Awesome. Awesome. That is so neat.